This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
Podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number, oh geez, what are we up to now? 57, 57 whole episodes of The Payload. We are an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. It's February 17th, 2017. We're almost 2 months through this horrendous year, and amidst the floods from the California lands, first we have Rosh. Hey Rosh.
Yeah, hi. I'm not even sure I'm still in Cali with how windy it is. I'm pretty sure I'm just on the East Coast now. This storm coming in tomorrow is going to be insane if it's anything like today was. And I think today was just the beginning of it. So I don't know. I haven't seen a storm like this in Cali, so I'm kind of nervous, but I'm kind of excited because it's been forever. But hopefully I'll still be here come Monday when this storm has passed. So looking forward to doing this week's podcast, and hopefully I'm still around for next week.
Right. Well, me too, because hosts are hard to replace. I mean, we want you to be well and good and not at all selfish in trying to protect all the hard work it would take. Just kidding. From Camarillo, California, Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy, welcome back, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a little bit of a while. It's been a crazy week, and I'm dealing with the same thing that Rosh is dealing with, although I think I dealt with it couple hours before as it came down the coast that way. But yeah, hoping to not have to bring out my canoe and drive around that way.
Ah, but canoes are fun, man. They're canoes. Have you ever gone canoeing before?
It's been a while. It's probably been like 20 years, maybe. Maybe more. I don't know. It's been a while.
It's tough. The last time I went canoeing, actually, it's been a long time, but I went paddleboarding for the first time when I was in Hawaii. And Rosh is typing. Rosh, it's okay to itch your nose now. Just itch your nose right now. She's trying to be discreet. It's okay. Itch your nose.
Oh my gosh.
We're not cut here. I'm just going to cut right here like this. Just me. Went paddleboarding, fell a lot. That was so funny. Sorry.
Oh. That wasn't me.
It's all right.
Yeah, I was wondering why you were throwing her under the bus.
I thought it was Rosh.
I thought that you were just joking.
I thought I saw you typing.
I thought he
man,
was joking too.
This show. It's been a while. We've lost all of our rapport with each other when we miss a week. It's just like we've never done this before. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have to pick this up as we go on. Sorry, Jimmy.
I was like, he threw me under the bus and I'm not even doing anything.
I am
a
jerk. I mean, at the same time, is anyone surprised that I threw Rosh under the bus?
No, you're right. No,
it's still paying back for like the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, I was about
weeks.
To say the console comments are still still festering in your mind.
Ago?
So
I never forget. I have a list.
It was like your first episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, Rosh, yeah, you're on exactly. the list, basically. Anyways, this is an Overwatch podcast. We need to talk about Overwatch. But before we jump into all the crazy news, we've got some esports stuff. We have hopefully time for a pretty cool strategy segment. But until then, at first I want to hear what you guys have been up to in game, in Overwatch. Rosh, what have you been up to so far?
Well, I actually had the lovely opportunity to play with some F2K teammates of mine, except they're all EU. So I've been having to play with EU ping, and I didn't realize how spoiled I was over here in Cali when I have 6 to 10 ping, because on EU I'm playing with like 160 ping, and the running joke between them is, oh, you know, you just left click, you're on Mercy. But that, it's a noticeable difference between 160 and 10. So I've actually been leveling another Smurf. It's level 22 or 23 right now, so that I can do ranked over with them and try and, you know, help them get out of the ELO that they're in right now. So I think that's been interesting.
Yeah, I have no idea what that's like at all.
But other than that, I've just been messing around in quick play in the downtime when I'm not doing that, and just kind of waiting for the season to end and just to start over with a clean slate for season 4.
Nice. We do have an end date, by the way. It's February 21st. So we'll just say that right now. February 21st is when the season ends. That's 4 days. I have 4 days to climb like 200 ranks and I can get
that's
to
fine. I got you tonight.
Great.
That's
nice. I'm top 500, but I want to get to top 300 before the end of the.
Yeah, good.
Totally it.
Oh my god.
Jimmy, what about you, man? We got to play a little bit this week. That was fun. We didn't get to win, but we got to play.
We played a bunch of competitive and it was a disaster.
We played for like rough. 5 hours.
And I feel like it was forever. Yeah.
It was really close up to about 5 hours, and no joke, it was 2.5 hours before we got our first win.
Yeah, you came into my stream chat one day when I was streaming. You told me that, and I was like, how did you guys keep playing? If I don't win for the first like 3 games, I'm done. I can't keep playing. I don't understand how you guys push through for 5 hours worth of games.
I don't know. I think we added a couple other people as we kept going, and then that helped us a little bit as we went forward.
Yeah, we were playing with friends.
It was rough though, because I felt like any role that I was on wasn't helping. It was like I would play support and we'd still lose. I'd be on TPS, I'd be on tank, and it was frustrating, but that's the way competitive games are sometimes. So just have to let roll off your back and press forward. I'll probably try to do some solo queuing before the season's over to try to up my rank, so it's not such a wide variety of rankings that it's trying to match, which is pretty mixed bag. Right.
Yeah, I did. My goal for season 3 on console was getting to diamond, which I did. So I got that. And then, so now I'm starting PC shooters from scratch. And so while I understand the concepts of Overwatch really well, my mechanics are just not there. But I've been playing Zarya and I think I've been doing pretty good. Rosh, I know Rosh, we're going to be playing a little bit later. For sure sometime this week, if not tonight after the show.
Yeah, before the season ends. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We'll try and get you up there out of the
ELO.
You'll
be able to say, like, actually, John, you really just are this bad. or something different. Hopefully, I don't hear that, but I'm also prepared. I'm also prepared in case that happens. Well, I know we're kind of pushing through this part fast. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's jump into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
Before we jump in, we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Corel, and Tommy H. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you want to support the show, help us continue to make it sound better. Bring on awesome guest. Jamerson crushed it last week, talking about all the stuff with competitive. I'm just like, let's just talk competitive Overwatch for a week, because the dude is so freaking smart. And I was watching him play in a competitive today, and he's up to like 4250 right now. Like,
that's awesome.
He's an amazing Ana player. Phenomenal.
I actually tuned in, I think it was last night at the esports arena. He was hosting a 3v3 tournament. Mm-hmm. And that's something they're doing. That was really cool to see him doing that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So thank you, Jamerson.
Yeah. I'm like, just come back. He's like, I'll come back whenever I'm not doing stuff on Thursday. So hopefully we get to see a lot more of Jimmy. Anyways, patreon.com/ Jamerson and Jimmy, of course, but Jamerson as well. Patreon.com/payload podcast is where you can find our Patreon, support the show, play with us and get cool perks and things like that. And also hang out with us in Discord, discord.gg/blizzpro, is where we're hanging out, talking about everything going on throughout the week. So yeah, we already talked about the first thing. Season 3 ends February 21st. So hit it hard here so that you can
very hard and very fast.
Yes. So do that before the time's up. Hit your goal and let us know how you did. Email us, thepayload@blizzbro.com. Send us your emails with what your goals were, if you met it, what your goals are for season 4. Why not? Sounds like fun. Let's do that. This is a pretty big deal, though. The second thing we wanted to talk about is Blizzard is cracking down on cheating, especially in Korea. Jimmy, what's going on with this one?
There's a whole lot going on. This is a big post that they posted up a few days ago. Lilira, community manager over at Blizzard, went ahead and put this together, but they are looking into, or not really necessarily looking into, but they are going to be starting to implement the fact that you have to have an Overwatch license tied to that Battle.net account to play, even in PC Bangs, which is like a LAN center in Korea. So
that started today.
That'll be good. Yeah. That started today. Yeah. So that's going to be a investment that players are going to have to make to play even in PC Bangs now. And I'm curious how this will affect the numbers for Korea, because you didn't have to actually own Overwatch to be able to play in these bongs, and now you do. So I'm really curious to see how the Overwatch numbers will stack up against stuff like League of Legends, where you can just have an account and you don't have to buy anything to necessarily start up in the game.
Right.
Yeah. And also, interestingly enough, tangentially, it's going to be expanding to Diablo 3 and StarCraft 2 in the future as well. So Blizzard are definitely rolling this out to other games as well.
So what I read this as, I want to get your thoughts on this, Rosh, but what I feel like this is the hacking issue is a big problem in Korea for them to kind of go against the grain of kind of what they've done in the past just to address this cheating. Do you think it's that big of a deal, or is it just why shouldn't you own the game anyway?
No, I think that it's a huge deal because Blizzard has always been pretty hard on cheaters. But when Overwatch came out, that was one of the things that they said that they were going to make sure that they were on top of, which is one of the appeals, I guess, to the game being $40 when it came out, is unlike CSGO, instead of how much is it, $5 to buy a copy of CSGO? It's a lot harder. You have to invest a lot more into Overwatch if you want to cheat. And if you get caught, you have to buy an account. So with Korea being able to kind of get away from that with the cafe hubs that they have, I think that that's going to be like one of the final, like the really cinches into stopping them from cheating over there. And I know that following a lot of the people that are in Korea on Twitter, is they say that that's one of the craziest things in Korea is all of the hackers and how insane it is. So I definitely think it's a good move for the game and it's the right step in the direction. And I think that this is going to achieve a lot of what they want as to getting rid of the cheaters and the amount of hackers and everything going on. Cheaters and the amount of hackers.
So just a heads up, we probably just lost part of the recording. I have no idea why. I just lost all audio. Stream already lost it, so there goes the video. But we know about it. Sorry about that. It's weird. I have no idea. Technology is weird. I don't even know. To summarize, let's just summarize here for a second. So Jimmy, what was the thing that you corrected yourself with, or you restated?
I restated. It doesn't sound like the Asian players necessarily have to have a license for Overwatch. It's just if you want to play outside of your region, it's kind of locking that in. And same with the being able to play on Korean servers, it looks like. It's pretty wordy. It uses IGRs, which is, I'm not familiar with
Internet
what that stands
gaming
for.
Rooms. I Googled
okay,
it.
There we go. Okay, so, thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
That makes sense. Okay. But yeah, that's what I got from that. So they're obviously pursuing other alternatives too.
So the way I understood this, so this is straight from, it says effective February 17, 2017, We will be adjusting our Battle.net account policies so that only players with valid game licenses in their Battle.net account home region will be able to play Overwatch in Korea. So that's what it says. So you're saying that doesn't mean that if you're a Korean player, you have to have an Overwatch game?
Yeah, because it also goes on to say these players will still be able to play exclusively on Asia servers, regardless of whether they have a permanent license.
Got it. Okay, so that's the first thing. Did you guys see the video of Seagull playing with like Miso and I think Numlock?
The six stack?
The six stack.
It was
stack
Miso, DSP, Seagull. Oh gosh, I can't remember Grim the Reality. Others. But yeah, Grim Reality, Agilities, and then there was one more. But yeah, it was hilarious them doing the six stack. It was super funny because you could have all the Twitch. I can't remember the site, the URL that combines all of multi-Twitch, the streamers into one. Yes, multi-Twitch. Having all six of those up was hilarious. It was such a good time.
Yeah, and then they went against that team of cheaters where they had two or three aimbotters.
Yeah.
And they beat
and
them.
And it was on a king, yep.
They crashed them 3-0. It was pretty funny. There was the D.Va. That's was awesome. The D.Va was aimbotting and just like shredding the team. So like they all went tank and it was so sick. It was so cool, but I just thinking about and talking about cheaters, I thought it was a good time to talk about. Even if you're cheating, you're not good enough to beat Seagull. another interesting thing. This story has taken a turn throughout the last week. So ever since the latest version of the PTR came up, there's been a lot of speculation about some files data mined on Numbani where there's art assets. The payload you're actually escorting Doomfist's gauntlet, and on the PTR there's files and art files of the case that the gauntlet is stored in is broken, and so with everything going on at Terry Crews and Doomfist and now this, everyone's like, you know, Doomfist is coming. It's coming. Terry Crews is going to be Doomfist and it's going to be number 24. And then there was even went as far as the Doomfist theme when talking about Doomfist in the initial cinematic trailer was also playing in the menu on PTR. So people are like very ready for number 24 and for that to be Doomfist. But today Jeff Kaplan posted on the forum, says number 24 is not who you think it is. So
he's just trying to throw us off. It's totally Doomfist.
You think so?
No, I have no idea. I really have no
idea. I know, we're all like looking to Jimmy to call out what he really feels like so we can latch on to it and believe this and pray and think this every single night as we go to sleep. Yeah. So whatever Jimmy feels like is going to happen.
I have no idea.
I don't even know the names of the ones.
I don't want to play this ARG ever again.
Yeah. I'd actually forgotten about that whole mess, but yeah, you know, I'm just going to wait. You know, I don't even care anymore. They just release whatever you want to release, put whatever storyline. I'll catch up on it on the videos where they put all the Easter eggs together and then they release the character. Right. I'm not doing this witch hunt anymore.
Fair enough.
Who knows?
Right. So Doomfist, we believe, is not number 24. And Jeff Kaplan did say, though, in a different post, he goes, right now, they were talking about a sitting emote for Sombra was the what the thread was about. It basically talked about, you know, right now, these sitting emotes aren't our real priority with this. And you'll probably see these sitting emotes happen weeks or even months after a new hero is introduced. And at the last second or sentence he says is, right now, we feel like introducing a new hero to the lineup would be more impactful to the game. So we are going to get a new hero before we get a sitting emote for Sombra, and also alludes to the fact that the next big piece of content you would think would be number 24, Do you think I'm crazy for thinking that? Or does that sound about right?
No, I feel like he would not have been given the green light to say something like that unless it was coming like actually soon, like next month or two at the latest, I would think.
Do you think we'll get one by season four?
They have a week off. I feel like that's
10 days in the next 10 days. No,
I don't think so.
I'd be surprised.
And they've never really limited themselves to releasing a character on the off season. That's never really stopped them from releasing a new character. So I don't think it's going to be related to in between seasons or that week off.
Because when's the server browser stuff coming? Season four?
Has that even been released as when it's going to be announced off of PTR?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering.
I think it's
presumably
just one
what's
of those.
On the PTR though. Yeah. Like before that, I would think, right?
Yeah, maybe with the they might push all the PTR changes. That's what they did last season, I think, is when they put everything on the PTR. When season three started, they pushed all the PTR changes to live servers when they updated for season three. So realistically or hypothetically, that's probably when we will see the server come to live servers from PTR.
Eldorian, good old JR in chat, says probably will announce at PAX East, which is March 10th.
That's a good point.
I like JR Domus over there in the chat. Yep. I think he's right. I think he's right on with that one. That one's a good one. So
that was when they announced Zarya, I want to say. Zarya and McCree? I don't even know. It was what last year.
Zarya and McCree, or was it the Australians?
I don't remember.
But
PAX definitely has traditionally become a place for Blizzard to announce new content for their games. So I don't think that's a far stretch to think that number 24 would be coming then.
Right.
Or announced.
All right. Jimmy, I got a question for you. How full is your Overwatch memorabilia shelf right now?
It's getting there. And unfortunately... or fortunately, however you want to look at this, another figure was announced, but this time it is from Nendoroid, which is a Japanese company, and they do some really awesome figures. And actually by Good Smile Company, sorry. That Nendoroid is the name of the figures that they put out, but if you've seen any sort of anime or video game figures that are like this, they are freaking awesome. They're a little pricier than the pop figures at around $50 to $60 range.
Right.
But the price you pay for it is the increase in quality. Yeah. Someone put out a really funny kind of a little bit of shade, a tweet showing the pop figure and the Nendoroid by each other. And you can definitely tell the quality difference between the two.
Yeah, I have every Overwatch pop, and I like them. They're like $10 a pop. It's like candy. It's you might as well have a vending machine for these things. But I also
they're
have the Tracer.
In that, like, they're definitely in that like I can't even think of the word now. Spontaneously buying range of price.
Right. Yeah. They're a little bit out of that about $40-$50. That's two T-shirts. You know how I love my Overwatch t-shirts, so but I'm still gonna get these. It's cute. It's posable. She's posable, so you can move her around in different action positions and all that stuff. So pretty cool. Do you have a Overwatch shelf, Rosh?
I did at my last apartment, but since moving, my desk is now up against a window, so I have to get different types of shelves to put everything on so I could put them on the wall to the left of it, so I can't get as big of a shelves. But yeah, I have, I don't have all of the Overwatch pop figures, but I have the Reaper and the Widow. I'm kind of just waiting on a Mercy to really get into it, but I have a bunch of other little knickknacks that I have for my desk. I have an Overwatch poster that my sister and my best friend got from a con that they went to in Tampa, and that's on my desk. And so yeah, I have my little nerdy section that I love to keep that I don't think I'll splurge the 50-60 on the Tracer one. But if they ever come out with a Mercy one, I definitely would.
Cool. I'm down with that. I'm gonna get it. Why not? I'm just shameless with my Overwatch stuff now.
Yeah. It's just
everywhere all the time. Okay, last bit of news. Man, this was such a crazy week. But this one's good. This one's going to take a while here. So let me bring you up to speed for a second. So Monte Cristo, he's a well-known esports caster who's now focused on Overwatch. He was one of the premier casters for League of Legends. He's done other games since. I mean, hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter. Like, he's a big deal. He's now with ESL doing the Apex stuff in Korea with Doa and that crew out there. Anyways, he headed up a petition with some pretty big esports names. Just the ones on the petition was like Grego, Numlocked, Mendo Kusai. But virtually every pro player that I could find signed this petition. I couldn't really find one who's on a major team who didn't sign this petition. And the petition was to the moderators of the official Overwatch subreddit to combat the low effort content that dominates the subreddit and makes more high effort content like esports and guides and videos and podcasts. Come on. makes those a lot more difficult to find. There's a lot less discussion around those. And ultimately, Monty and the people who supported the petition is calling for a stricter moderation of low effort content. And really, the only thing that they say is just make it a self-post. A lot of subreddits do this with images and GIFs, is that it's a self-post so that you don't get any Reddit karma for posting those things, even when it's upvoted. So that way you are rewarded for your high effort content and not that 30th play of the game highlight. And I believe at one point somebody, I can't remember if it was in the petition itself or it was in the comments on one of the different subreddits, said 22 out of 25 of the top posts for that given day were what would be classified as low effort content. So typically play of the game GIFs, images, things like that. So after going through the original petition, the official subreddit then kind of blew up. And in my opinion, they took it way too far. They took Monty's petition for, hey, let's police this a little bit more so that it's not just something that you watch in 6 seconds, always at the top of the subreddit. And they took it as Monty and the competitive Overwatch team want all esports 24/7. What?
It blows my mind. So, I feel like we all are so strongly opinionated on it. I think we all kind of feel the same way. Yeah. What blows my mind is the people that are out there calling this like the biggest war between esports and casual viewers of Overwatch. Like, I could not, and I'm a female, I could not roll my eyes harder at that statement. I don't understand. One, it's a Reddit thread. Two, Monty is doing all of this publicly. It's a petition, which means he's not forcing any strings. He's not pulling any strings. He's not using his credit behind the scenes. He's asking for public support on this if people feel the same way with him, which, as we've seen, people do. Yes, people feel strongly against it too, but the people who are feeling strongly against this are just like out there. Their feelings are less towards the petition of wanting to change the Reddit thread and more at the fact that why could Monty even think that he could do this? And that's what drives me nuts, that I don't see anything wrong with this at all. And it blows me away.
Sure. And I do want to get everybody to weigh in on that. Jimmy, what did you feel? How did you feel about A, the petition, and then B, the backlash that kind of came from, honestly, even on the competitive Overwatch subreddit, people kind of bit back a little bit. But when you looked at a lot of these accounts, there were people who came from the Overwatch subreddit to the competitive Overwatch subreddit just to announce their distaste of Overwatch subreddit.
I'm with Rashi. I really like that they were very public with this petition and weren't like trying to go behind everyone's backs to the moderating team and being like, oh, you guys need to do this, blah, blah, because I'm this big wig. And nothing against Monty, because he is big in the scene and he deserves that spot because of the work he's put in.
And
go for it.
I wanted to say is, and I hope that people who have a lot of influence and believe that they can make things better use that influence in a public way like that, mm-hmm. rather than behind the scenes. That's the only thing I wanted to say. Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah.
Go. No,
just historically, every big subreddit for a game has had to go through this growing phase. The biggest one I think that I can remember was definitely our StarCraft when it first started, just because it was kind of one of the first big game specific subreddits to completely blow up. And then the tournament scene blew up behind that, and they had to just scale back on these low effort posts like this petition is talking about. And you have to think though, a lot of the people signing this petition, it's their livelihood kind of at stake to get this esports stuff up in a bit more visibility in the Overwatch subreddit, which has just an absurd amount of views every single day. And we all know about the Reddit effect and just how much that can impact a site or a tournament views and stuff like that. And it is a little bit self-serving, this position, but I think Monty is doing it just because he wants Overwatch competitive Overwatch to succeed
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
So I do have a question though, because r/Overwatch did try to remove play of the games and gifts completely from the official Overwatch subreddit about a year ago. Maybe it was longer than that, but I know it was a while back. It did not go very well. If they were to do that, do you think we're just going to repeat history here? Like, do people love their play of the games and family-friendly podcasts, so SH posts? Do people love that so much it's just inevitable, and this branch between Overwatch and competitive Overwatch will always be there?
Well, I think that a lot of people with this petition are comparing our Overwatch to the League of Legends Reddit thread that happened, where they tried to push this through and they tried to get rid of the lower time consuming posts for threads that, you know, were detailed guides and stuff like that. Because if a detailed guide takes 20 minutes to read and gets 10 upvotes, that doesn't count as much as a 5-second GIF that immediately gets 5 upvotes. And because those upvotes were closer to when the post was made, those count as more. And thus that 5-second GIF that it took them 30 seconds to make is now higher rated than this strategic guide that a person put maybe a week into going in depth that could actually help a lot more people. So now this GIF gets a lot more publicity than this guide that could help a lot more people. And they tried to do that, and I don't think they did it right with League of Legends. And in the end, it kind of suffered a lot, and a lot of people don't like that Reddit thread. And I think that they're just trying. I think the people opposed to Monty's petition are just trying not to see that happen with Overwatch. But what I think is that Monty was casting for League of Legends. He knows just as well as these Reddit users just exactly what happened to the League of Legends thread. So with his insight on that ordeal, I feel like people aren't giving him enough credit with what he's trying to do. I don't think he's trying to say burn all of the GIFs and the memes and the play of the games at the stake. I think what he's trying to say is let's have a little more diversity and just add, you know, instead of 22 out of 25 of the first post being GIFs and plays of the games, let's maybe do a more balance of guides and GIFs and play of the games. And I think that that's what people are missing when they're looking at this petition. And they think that he's just trying to destroy the whole Reddit community as a whole from the GIFs and play of the games. And I think that that's why it's as strongly opposed. And I don't think that people should think that, because that's not what Monty's asking for.
It was never even said. Like, go through and read the petition. It'll be in the show notes. Go through and read through the petition. Basically, the only actual physical piece of action that it calls for is making those gifts and things self-posts so that you can't just farm Reddit karma. I know for me personally, I'm a little bit biased because podcasts have never done well in the official subreddits, but podcasts have always done well in the competitive subreddits, competitive Hearthstone and competitive Overwatch. People have been great about posting our stuff there. And when I introduced the shows, you know, we put dozens of hours into preparing this show and then recording it, getting it out there, hopefully making it sound great. And when, you know, something like this, I'm not even just saying about us, but when other people are making their own shows, go look, go to r/Overwatch, type in the word podcast, hit enter, and see how you can count up how many upvotes all the podcasts got. And I guarantee you, in the last year, if you count all those up, it won't even equal what the highest rated post in that day is. Because, you know, and again, part of it is podcasts aren't for everyone. I get it. I'm not saying we should have podcasts.
And you have to listen to the podcast. It's more than 30 seconds. It's time. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, so I get it. I'm not saying podcasts. I'm not, just like Monty isn't saying, because I come as I'm an Overwatch esports advocate, doesn't mean I want all esports. Just because I'm a podcast advocate doesn't mean I want all podcasts. But it's really frustrating when some dude's funny Lucio boop, because it took 6 seconds to upvote and 1 second to click upvote, or, you know, 6 seconds to watch, 1 second to click upvote, it doesn't get, it, you know, just goes straight to the top. And it's kind of like, that's frustrating. And a lot of people miss a lot of the content. At the same time, Katie and I love watching play the game gifs and funny things. Like, I think that's a great thing too, but I think that there's a good middle ground for this.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that's all that Monty's calling for. And people are just blowing this completely out of proportion, as into this is, oh, us casual players, yeah, we aren't good enough to, you know, play competitive Overwatch, but we still like our gifts too. And they're turning it into us against them, kind of like what Shadow said in chat. That's exactly what they're turning it into be. And I feel like Monty tried very hard to word it to be the exact opposite of that.
Right.
So this whole thing baffles me.
And we actually, so Skyline, who was on the podcast
I saw
about a month ago, posted a video. And it was really interesting. I honestly didn't agree with much of it. Just being completely honest, we're not biased towards our guests.
Yeah,
here.
Not biased, not talking badly at all, but I have to agree. Skyline's video was the one that was brought up in my stream chat that great guy, great video. The quality of the video is really good. I just disagree with the video itself. Well, and it's just a difference of opinion.
And he brought up some really great points. Now, one of it was like the official Overwatch subreddit has some like 800,000 subscribers, and the competitive Overwatch subreddit has almost 100,000 subscribers. So it's a small subsection, but that's not small overall. That's not a small amount of people there. Can't these two different subreddits just coexist, and can't that make it? Now, first of all, the official Overwatch subreddit does not have links to competitive Overwatch or Overwatch University, which again is like another middle ground thing. Be like, okay, fine. Make sure that people have immediate access to these other communities.
I think that's the least they could do.
Right.
Put the competitive Overwatch in the banners and just make it a lot easier to get from one subreddit to the other.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. And so in the end, he phrased it as the worst thing that could have happened to the Overwatch community. And I'm like, don't get me wrong. This is a very awkward thing. And it did. I do think it polarized the community in a way that Monty never intended, or anyone really. I don't think anyone meant for this to be a polarizing, as Shadow said in chat, us against them mentality. Mm-hmm. Instead of, we are a young community. Esports are going to be huge for Overwatch in 2017. Other esports games have struggled with this and have either not addressed it correctly or did, but we can avoid that pain, those pain points now by getting ahead of it. Let's start addressing this now and having those difficult conversations now rather than later, yeah. rather than, you know, having these big multi-million-dollar Overwatch tournaments, or maybe you don't get those big tournaments anymore because not enough people see it in the Overwatch subreddit. Not enough people see it in that way. I'm not educated enough in esports overall to know the exact impact of that, but it's just, it's really disheartening that the community took a really well-meaning petition and found a way to again make it a threat of us against them, against pros versus casuals, or competitive yeah. versus casuals. And we're a little bit biased here because we're pretty heavily invested into Overwatch. We won't want to talk about it every week, right? So, you know, we're obviously wouldn't be doing a podcast if all we did was watch 6-second GIFs. But I don't know. I'm on the side of balance. Like, I want to see people rewarded for their hard work and not just keeping their game captures up on their computer, throwing it in Giphy and then, you know, loading that up. Like, that's not what I want my subreddit to be. And I get a vote. We all get our own individual votes. And I don't know. I very much wish it was different. Jimmy, closing thoughts.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. I don't want to get rid of the GIFs and the play of the games and stuff, I guess, because like we said, we all enjoy seeing that stuff, especially when it's something really funny or hilarious. But I just would like to see it a little bit more like the Heroes of the Storm subreddit. Just, I know it's much smaller community, but there's a good mix of funny meme-y stuff and just the esports content there. I mean, with HGC going on every week that the tournament is going on, there are threads about that and there are specific rules about spoilers and stuff like that. So I really would like to see them take that kind of rule set and apply it to the Overwatch subreddit so it has a bit more variety of content.
Right. And I think the Hearthstone subreddit is what it could be eventually if the Overwatch subreddit doesn't change to something more like the Heroes of the Storm. It's all just complaining the same four content creators and bored states every day. The only downside is competitive Hearthstone is even worse in the sense that you can only post deck guides and competitive like play analysis. So like podcast, again, don't do well there, but we couldn't even post our podcast on the competitive Hearthstone subreddit if we wanted to, unless we had a pro player on. And even then, we posted one with a developer. We had Yang Wu on, and it couldn't even get there. And that also risks, by having this polar split, it risks what I think is good, a lot of good content creators. It makes it so that they don't have a place to show their stuff. They don't have a place to share what they've worked on, because people are just, it's so easy to watch and upvote GIFs and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. we've got so much to talk about. We gotta go. We're gonna put the kibosh on that. Let's go.
Faster than sight. So predictable.
We're going to skip over most of the Apex stuff this week. I was sick yesterday, so I didn't get to do a fast break. Head over to over.gg and take a look at the most recent stuff. Pretty good games coming up next week, though, with Envious and Meta Athena, as well as Misfits versus Lunatic High. So that'll be pretty cool. We talked about Lunatic High losing Litajun and Dean because of their scandalous activity.
Scandalous.
Such a scandal.
I know. But there are a lot of people saying right now that Lunatic High is actually better with Zumba and Who Are You?
Oh.
Raj, what do you think? Do you think that we actually have a stronger, better Lunatic High roster without these two players?
I kind of do. Yeah, I kind of do because of Who Are You in specific. Because not a lot of people know a lot about Who Are You, but he is an insane Tracer and Genji player. And with this new meta, I was watching Apex last night. I can't remember which game it was, but they were actually running a one tank triple DPS comp. And it's working because of in this meta, you can try out a lot of more versatile comps. And they were running it against triple tank. So it was really, really interesting. It was really, really cool. But in this new meta, I definitely think adding Who Are You with how crazy he is on Genji. I think he was in the top five ranked Korean Genjis. So dang, that it's going to be insane. His Genji is going to shred the backline. So I do think that in a way that, yes, they are going to be better with Who Are You. And then Zumba, a lot of people know Zumba from the Eichenwald jump that he did. And I think that he's just going to be a great addition to the team as well. And then, I think the craziest thing is that Ryu on Lunatic High is 27 and Who Are You is 17. So I think that that'll be interesting to see how the team chemistry goes between them. But if they can make it work with that, then I think that they're definitely in the better and we'll see an improved Lunatic High after this.
Interesting. Jimmy, what do you think? Do you think that they're ready to play their best game next week against Misfits?
I think so. It sounds like these were issues, long-standing issues, and it actually is a good thing that they got removed from the team. That and bringing on these fresh eyes to their team to like see their maybe where their weaknesses are. Sure. It'll be a good thing. I mean, we saw this. I mean, I always go back to Envious. and how they brought on someone last minute and how it worked for them. Maybe we'll see the same thing here with Lunatic High.
Maybe. I wonder. This will be interesting. I'm really excited to see those two matchups next week. Also, though, we actually, NRG finally making the big moves that we wanted to see. Bring on Swedish player IDDQD, who, he's had an interesting year.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's had an interesting year. Boy, I believe he's been signed on four different major rosters since May. So since the launch of the game, he's been on four different rosters. And I had some good notes on it, but I can't even find it anymore. Life is so, so difficult. Anyways. Yeah, I have no idea. There it is.
Hey. Yeah, but okay. This year,
fourth major roster since May.
Broke, Nubris, Fnatic, and NRG.
Right. And so, and he was dropped from Fnatic because of some behavior. Yeah, some behavioral stuff.
Noted in the Energy interview with them picking up IDDQ was that his personality meshes well with the team. And that was one of the things when they picked him up, I was like, wait a minute, do they know? Like, did they just miss all of the notes on IDDQ and why he was dropped from teams? But then they specifically said that. So I think that that was definitely something that they were considering when they were looking at him, was how well he would mesh with the team. And maybe him and Seagull mesh really well. I don't know. Energy needed a top tier hit scan and they kind of get that with IDDQD. So in terms of mechanics and comp, they get that. We'll just see if maybe he's reformed from the first four teams he was on this year and he's trying to make a new name for himself. I don't know. We'll see.
And NRG, they've got some proving and climbing to do.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
Man, you know, we started, I even know on this show, we were really hyped about the NRG roster, and man, they just time and time again just could not make those results happen. And now they're back to playing in smaller tournaments. They're going to be at the Alienware Monthly Melee at the beginning of March, I believe, is when that's going to be. So they're going to be competing there. That's going to be the first tournament event that we're going to see NRG in. So that should be interesting overall. I mean, as far as player talent goes, IDDQD is an amazing acquisition for the team. I don't think anybody can contest that. The question is, you know, we saw this at even the Overwatch World Cup, where it's not just individual skill that wins games in Overwatch. Yep. It is that synergy, and that's why Korea just stomped us.
Dominate,
I don't even want to talk about it.
Like, I'm still salty.
Still salty about it. Rogue moves to Vegas, which is kind of interesting. Rogue, which is traditionally a kind of a more European-centric organization, is going to be moving their Overwatch team to Las Vegas. There's already a few different rosters.
Overwatch League?
I know. That's what I was thinking too. Are these teams making moves towards Overwatch League stuff?
Interesting.
Question mark.
Every time somebody moves now, the first thing is like,
I know. It's Overwatch just like League? Question. Yeah, exactly. Like, ooh, is that going to be the city's Overwatch team? Yeah.
Vegas would be great though for
Vegas.
League team.
Vegas is ripe for a lot of that stuff. I mean, even traditional sports is starting to move in.
Yep.
NHL. Into Vegas, and they've just been. I think they've just been ripe to be a esports capital for a while. I mean, I remember going to Vegas in 2014, I think, to help out with an event there during CES. And there was actually like an EA Sports themed bar at one of the casinos. It was playing esports stuff there. So,
yeah, I know. I think Kevin Hovdestad actually went to Vegas one time too for esports thing. So I think it's a great place to
obviously happen. Evo's been there for years, and we have the CSGO tournament going on this weekend, DreamHack. So lots going on there.
Dang. That is a lot. Okay, last thing in esports, then we're gonna talk strategy this week. We're almost done. Holy crap, what a week. Is it always gonna be like this?
Say this headline three times fast.
So here's how it goes though. We United.
Oh no, I was gonna make that comment.
To reunited.
You took my joke.
To X reunited.
To
E united.
What was this?
What are the freaking odds of that?
How did you get my show notes? I'm pissed. I was so happy I was going to say that too. I've just been sitting here like waiting. I had it highlighted in show notes and everything. Like,
I want to be
an
Overwatch esports historian. I'm trying really hard. I have like spreadsheets out of like roster moves and all that stuff. So I'm trying really hard. So anyways, this is pretty interesting. So Reunited, shut down, closed down, dropped their teams, kind of ceased their Overwatch esports activity, citing a lot of the incompatibility with their organizational structure in the upcoming Overwatch League. And so we had X Reunited, who did pretty well. They played at, was it Haste that they played at? Where they did really well. It was a smaller tournament. It was that same week. There was the Haste and then the Strivewire. Was that it? The monthly brawl.
I don't even remember.
Anyways, one of those, they played one of those small ones. They dominated. They looked great. We talked about it with Jamerson last week. You know, and I asked Jamerson, do you think that these guys are ready to be picked up? And Jamerson basically said, I can't say, but yes. So now we have the answer here. So it's Valetage, Unfixed, Cruised, Sherrick, I don't know that one, Rubicon, and Morte is going to be that new roster. It's a pretty good roster. It's a pretty good team. What do you think, Jimmy?
I think the more interesting thing is that they're going to Korea for boot camping.
Oh, yeah.
which I don't think, did they confirm? I just think that they said, we're, you know, going to Korea in a couple weeks. But I don't think they specifically said if it was for an event or if it was for boot camp or what. So I think that's really interesting.
Cruz maybe said that they're going for a boot camp. So he tweeted it. But I don't think there's been anything official from the team beyond that. So.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be really cool.
It's a good team. It's a good team. They've played together for a while. They've gotten results together for quite a while. I'm really excited to see what these guys can do under new ownership and a little Korean boot camp. We'll see how they do.
And a little more evidence on the side of what we just talked about with NRG moving to Vegas. ESPN also reported on this, and they basically quoted the owners of EUnited as saying that while no spot is in the league, Overwatch League is guaranteed, they're committed to having a team take part in the Overwatch League. So,
right,
we'll see.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. This is interesting. It's starting to get spicy before the Overwatch League.
Also interesting, in that same quote, they expect the Overwatch League to begin in the fiscal third quarter 2017. So about 6 months, 6-7 months away.
Yeah, fiscal, I always forget, is fiscal the one that starts in October? Or is that the one that starts in January?
So
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not a finance major. I don't know these things.
I don't know either.
Anyways, moving on.
So that's it for the esports stuff. Lots of movement. Lots of things changing. Hopefully you feel up to date a little bit here. We did want to talk though. We wanted to bring a little strategy to the show this week. And we wanted to talk about ultimates and synergies. And when you're looking at your team comp, how you know you've got a good team comp, because there's a lot of things that that matter when you're looking at your team comp besides 2 tank, 2 DPS, 2 support, or, you know, kind of whatever, or, you know, at least 1 hit scan, that stuff. That stuff's important, but ultimate synergy, especially as you get to like the more middle rankings and higher, become a lot more important, because these ultimately become ultimate team fights. And ultimate economy is important. Being able to use them together is very important. So we want to take a little time to talk about some of these synergies, some that work really well with each other, some that don't, and how that ultimately goes. So I don't even know how we're going to break this down. Let's just start from the top. But let's just start about the no synergy heroes, the heroes that when you play them, you don't really need to use them. They're very versatile with what they work with and what that specific scenario is. Rosh, what would you say some of those heroes are who are just kind of whenever, wherever, like they are viable?
Yeah, well, really in any kind of situation, for any comp, really a lot of the maps is you mainly have your supports, which I think is how it's supposed to be. You want your supports to be ideal in any situation, or you would have to have a wide range of supports, and Overwatch just doesn't have that, being only have been out for a year. So as it stands right now, you have like Lucio's ult. His is insane. You can use his whenever there's no characters that it doesn't apply to. The only factor that goes into it is his LOS. It can be used whenever, wherever, on whoever. So his is definitely an all for all ult that you can use no matter on what kind of comp.
And it doesn't really amplify anyone else's, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't.
I think the only thing you really want to take care of or note of, I guess more, this is more in higher ranks, is Sombra's ult. Because it does, doesn't it, Sombra
just isn't a big player right now, so it's like you don't really have to worry about that. But maybe if Sombra comes more into the scene, yeah, exactly, you might have to be wary about that. But one other thing that I do want to say about Lucio is, I just thought about this, is his ult actually combos really well with a Genji ult, and we can get into that later when we start talking about what goes well and well. But typically, she's stagnant, she's stationary in the air, so it makes it really easy to pick her off. But like a Genji ulting, it basically lets him get free picks, unless of course he gets on a slept or something like that. But his ult goes with a lot of characters, with a lot of different people, so he's definitely one of your very generic ults that can pair with anybody. You also have Mercy. She doesn't rely on anybody to, you know, use her ult. All you need is a dead team and you're good. You can get your ult off of anything. She's very, very easy to pair with other heroes. Another one is Zenyatta, and then Symmetra as well. Both of them, you have targets to discord orb and you have targets to put your harmony orb on. And then with Symmetra, all you need is an enemy team. So her ult, you don't have to do anything else to put a teleport down. It's really simple to use. And then another one, which I guess you could bring up, is Widowmaker, because hers is just an overall, you don't really use it in a specific time. It's just, you use it basically when it's
hex.
Yeah. it's basically, you just, whenever you have it, you use it. There's not really a specific scenario that you want to necessarily keep it for. It's really easy to just fit in any comp, and it's not like any of your heroes or any of the other heroes can't benefit from her ult, so it just goes with everyone.
It's definitely one that you get value of, like you said, every time it's up you kind of just want to use it, because there's not a whole lot of strategy behind holding on to it.
I will say that it does go really well with flankers. Like your Tracers, your Zenyattas, even your Sombras. So it does pair well with those heroes more than it pairs well with the other heroes, but everyone gets a benefit out of the ult.
Right.
I don't think there's a single hero that isn't happy that they can see the enemy. So it's definitely very broad.
Right. So those are the ones that are just kind of on their own. They do those. They don't necessarily enhance other ultimates in the same way, or combo with other ultimates in the same way that these other ones that we're about to talk about do. So the next one I want to talk about was crowd control ultimates. For me, and Rosh, Jimmy, you can correct me here, but I feel like crowd control ultimates, you need at least one of these heroes in any composition you're playing if you're trying to be any level of competitive. Am I correct in that assumption?
I agree. I think it's hard to push on offense without at least one of these to really kind of give you an advantage to get a pick or turn a fight that's a little lopsided against you to your advantage. And these are definitely the heroes that help you clearly control those fights.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree.
Cool. So the heroes that we're talking about are Zarya with her Graviton Surge, Mei with her Blizzard, and then Reinhardt with his Hammer Down. I don't even know what it's called.
I think it is.
I don't remember what it's called. Yeah.
Earthshatter.
There it is.
I just always hear him scream Hammer Down, so I just think of that.
So those three completely immobilize the team for the most part. There are definite exceptions, like Reaper when he goes into Wraith form. Like, he can get out of a Blizzard or a Zarya ult. He can't.
You can also Genji shift out of it, so or you can blink out of it. So there are
characters that can't get out. You can Pharah jump and stuff. So you can get out of them, but for the most part, those are the big 3, 4, 5 kill ultimates that kind of supply of as the base of a good ultimate synergy. When I'm looking for, if I look on a team and I see, you know, four or five people have already locked in, I'm almost always looking for, do we have one of these three at least so that we can shift a team fight quickly and easily? So that's kind of, try to keep those in your mind. Zarya, Mei, and Reinhardt. But those on their own are only so-so, unless you have your whole team firing on them or you're using somebody else's ultimates. Jimmy, what ultimates, when combined with crowd control ultimates, end up being kind of really powerful?
Well, there's a lot of these that can really pair up. D.Va, Junkrat, Genji, Pharah, Reaper, Soldier 76, Tracer, Hanzo, and Roadhog. And I'd say, I know we're going to talk about them later, but I'd say in some situation, McCree works well in these as well. If people are bunched up and you're able to just get a bunch of data. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of other things to factor in. Obviously, Reinhardt having shield up, he can use that during a lot of those crowd control ones, crowd control ultimates anyway. So you're going to have a hard time landing those. But yeah, there's a whole ton of possibilities. Obviously, Zarya Pharah is a super common combination. getting everyone into a small area, and you don't even have to move your aiming with the when you
and you see it a lot in esports, that combo too. It's just it's super simple. And even with Zarya Pharah, even if you Lucio ult through it, just the Pharah does so much damage with her ult that it'll eat through it. The only thing that you can really do to counter that is a Zenyatta ult, which I mean it'll eliminate all of the damage because you'll just boost through that. So even it that combo as Pharah Zarya, if you're looking for that on a team, it's really good to when you're looking at the team comp and you know you have a Zarya, look and see, okay, what can we combo with the Zarya ult? Otherwise, the Zarya pick is going to be moot and we're not going to benefit off of it. So it's definitely something that you want to look at when you're choosing these characters and how to combo it with your Zarya or your Reinhardt or your Mei, is just kind of keep that in the back of your mind when you're looking at character selection, because it'll make a massive difference.
Yep. I'd say something that I've found too is one of the first things I look at before we're doing one of these big crowd control alts, especially with a Zarya, because I've been playing a lot of Zarya, is make sure that you've got the first half of the D.Va down as well, because she can just defense matrix through a lot of that too, depending on how close your Pharah is. And so, you know, there are counters to that, but at the same time, you know, Zarya and a Hanzo, we've seen that at competitive play. We see that everywhere else. There's nothing that really does. I don't even think the Zenyatta, does Zenyatta go through a Hanzo ult? I know he does.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Even through a Zenyatta, I know for a fact that ulting with Zenyatta over a Pharah, if the Pharah is directly hitting you, even that sometimes won't save you. So a Hanzo is is not rockets being shot and kind of RNG with how many of those rockets hit you. Yeah. It's a consistent damage the entire time. So like now I think you would just die through that.
So like there are some crazy, crazy ones like that, that, you know, use. What are some other, like, Rosh, up where you're at in your master, you know, type play, what are some of these really common duo or combos that you're seeing up at that level?
A lot of them, which actually surprised me, because I never, the one combo that I just didn't think of was a good combo, and I actually scratched, I was on stream and I remember kind of scratching my head at why this was even a combo, is a Zarya ult and a Reinhardt ult. As weird as that sounds, because depending on how much attention you're paying to the game, which if you want to get better at the game, that you should always strive to constantly being aware of what's going on in the game, constantly being aware of all the characters that are in the Zarya ult. Say a Zarya ult's a team and she captures the whole team, but there's a Zenyatta in that. If you're playing the Reinhardt, even though the Zarya has immobilized the enemy team, Reinhardt or Earth Shattering on top of the Zarya ult prevents that team from doing any defensive maneuvers, from a D.Va matrixing or a Reinhardt putting up a shield or any flankers or characters that can get out of the Zarya shield. Or the biggest one is a Zenyatta Transcendence, an ulting Zenyatta. So that's, it's one of the biggest ones that a lot of people don't think of. And I know personally, I remember a Reinhardt did it and I was like, why did we waste both of those ults? And then I realized, you know, that's actually a really, really good combo because it ensures that the team wipe is there. And that's huge if you're defending or attacking. So that's a really good one. And then now it's like, if you nano boost an ulting soldier into a Zarya ult, it's like, that's the point. Like it, there's almost nothing you can do to stop that. The defense or the D.Va matrix doesn't last long enough. The Reinhardt shield goes down way too fast. Even if you are able to shift out as a Genji or blink out as a Tracer, the soldier's just going to lock onto you. It's insane. So that's something that you definitely want to look for. And at the higher Elo, I'm sure it happens at the lower Elos too. Nano boosting a soldier is really common now. But especially with a Zarya, there's just nothing, especially as a Mercy player, there's nothing I can do to get out of that. It's super, super overpowered.
There's, and I'm glad you brought up Ana, because Ana and Sombra to me kind of are like this enhancing in a little bit. Like mm-hmm. Ana adds, right? With her mm-hmm. Ana boost, you're just, what is it? Your speed is increased by like 50%. Well,
they took away, away like the speed increase. Well,
like speed, but like the speed of you. Yeah, attack speed. Yeah. Is increased and it's a damage boost as well. It's a
damage,
correct?
Yeah. Or damage reduction. Yes, damage boost, but then it's also damage reduction on the person.
On the person that is ulted. Yes. Yeah. So basically they're taking correct. Less damage, putting out more
doing
damage.
Doing more damage
faster.
And putting it out faster.
Yeah.
Yes.
at the same time. And then on the other side of that, you have Sombra with her EMP to where if mm-hmm. you're worried about defense matrixes. Or you're worried about shields and things like that, those are no longer a player. You can't shift mm-hmm. out of something when you're shift locked. So yep. there is that. But Raj, to your point, the competitive viability of Sombra is still figuring its way out.
Yeah, like, she definitely fits into it very situationally. Like, if you're attacking on Eichenwald and you're attacking and the enemy team is running a lot of tanks, just for that one point after you've done a couple pushes, it might be completely reasonable and completely viable to switch to a Sombra, go to the back, contest the point, get them all to come out, build your ult, and then ult them down and then just take out the team. But she's a lot like Symmetra used to be before her reworks, where she's very, very situational and it's like 15% of the game is really all she's viable for. Other than that, there's not really any reason to run her.
Right. Right. So there's that. That's kind of the big things. There's other heroes we haven't talked about. McCree, Bastion, Torbjorn, and Winston. They all kind of have their own niche cases where they're not really mm-hmm. something that requires synergy, but at the same time, they're not really crowd control. Winston kind mm-hmm. of is, but the reverse. It's like the opposite of a Zarya ult.
Yeah.
You get people mm-hmm. off yeah. of a point, not on
and
a
McCree,
specific
yeah.
point.
And yeah. McCree is, it technically controls the crowd because the way that the McCree ult is used for now is kind of to push a clear path for you to move into. So yes, you could argue that it does control the crowd, but just not in the traditional way right. of a crowd control like Zarya does.
Yeah, I mean, you see that, especially as you rise up the ranks, mm-hmm. you'll see McCrees aren't able to necessarily get as many kills but
it
gives yeah. you the room, which I think people have finally started to understand that as we, mm-hmm. as the meta evolves and players learn how to play against McCree and so on.
Right. Yeah. We've all seen that one insane McCree alt though. And once you get an insane McCree alt as a McCree, you'll
good.
Be hooked.
I was streaming the other day, like not yesterday, but the day before, and the enemy Mercy rezzed her whole team, a 5-man rez on point B of our Volskaya, and they were at like 75%. And the McCree was starting to ult as our McCree was starting to ult as their Mercy rezzed the entire team. And you know that half a second of downtime that the players are there, you can lock on as a McCree, and he just took out the entire team and that's play of the game. And so he just walked around the corner and it was just boom, 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 boom. Dang. The entire team was dead. So yeah, Dang. It definitely still happens. You'll get those right. blue moon kills off of it. It's just right. he's more intentional to clear a path and stuff like that.
Right. Right. So that's kind of it. Hopefully, like, the big thing I want people to take away from this, and I want Rosh, Jimmy, you guys to add as well, is that look for that base ultimate always, that crowd control ultimate, that Reinhardt, Zarya, or May, like have one of those who you can just group up their team. When you have an ultimate like that and you can synergize it with basically half of the other heroes, there's a really good chance, especially mm-hmm. if you're struggling in the lower rankings. That's how we've been winning games. That's how I've been winning games. As I've been learning PC more, as I've been learning that, a big part of it is just like, dang, fine. If we're not better than them, let's have better ultimate economy with them, have better ultimate synergy than them, mm-hmm. and let's win games that way, because you can absolutely win games in Overwatch by doing that. What else do you think people should take away from this conversation, Raj, Jimmy?
I think the biggest part of pairing the ultimates is exactly how you said it. When you're at that character selection, and like I said before, for example, if someone picks that Zarya, that's the biggest thing that you should take away from this is the game is a team game. So yes, you can go off as a Genji and you can kill everybody, but if you're not a Genji player, you can still help your team by just lending your ult to the Zarya who's ulting. And even though you might not be able to get those 1v1s and those insane kills and those insane headshots, you can do a heck of a lot of damage comboing a Hanzo ult with your Zarya if that's how you want to play the game. You don't have to go and frag out and kill everybody and be Mendo Kusai Jr. and just destroy everybody. All you have to do is combo your ult with that Zarya and you can win the game that way. And I think that's a lot of the time people forget that and they try and play the game as a single player. Yeah. So I definitely think that's one of the biggest things to take away from this conversation. There are other ways to win the game.
Yeah. Jimmy, yeah. Any closing thoughts?
Just closing thoughts. We didn't really talk about this too much, but communicating where your ult is with your team can be so impactful and helpful. And you don't even have to be on mic for this. Just hit Z and your character will automatically tell the rest of your team how close they are to an ult or if they have an ult. And that can be a way to communicate. I want to use my ult now. So let's sync up and do these at the same time.
I didn't have a voice yesterday. So when I was playing Overwatch, what I just said is when I'm going to ult, I'm going to spam it Z twice. So I'm not just letting people know where my ult is, but I'm actually, if I spam it twice, that means I'm getting ready to ult and to be ready. And it worked out really well. People were really understanding of it. So finding that way to communicate, even if you're not on comms, like there are effective ways to communicate. And sometimes chat is toxic and you just got to mute that voice chat. Be like, hey, I'm just going to spam it twice when we're ready. So. Yeah.
Oh, what is the button? Time is money, friends. We're almost flat broke.
That's it. We got to get out of here. We're already a little bit over time. Whew. All right. Well, hey, thanks everyone for hanging out with us for episode number 57 of The Payload. Hope you enjoyed it. Patreon, no new patrons this week, but if you like the show, patreon.com/payloadpodcast. And iTunes reviews. We're one away from 50 in the U.S. So if you like the show and want to help us to get to 50 reviews and want to help us to continue to gain viewers the best way.
And you want to hear me try and pronounce your name.
Yes, and that. Mainly, mostly that, actually. mostly that. Head on over to iTunes, type in Overwatch. We're usually the third, fourth, fifth listed there. Hit that 5-star button. Leave a nice little message. Otherwise, we don't get to see your name. If you just hit the 5-star button, your name doesn't show up. So leave a message for Jimmy and Rosh, not me. Don't leave a message for me. Don't do it.
No message for John.
Yeah. So shout outs for the week. So Jimmy, shout outs for the week, and where can people find you?
Just thank you, John, for hanging out with me this week and playing Overwatch, even though we had a bit of a rough start in competitive. If you would like to follow me on Twitter at DJ Tyrant and on Twitch at DJ Tyrant as well. Probably going to be starting to stream more with the current situation.
Cool. Sure. I get that. Rosh, what about you? Shoutouts for the week. Where can people find you?
Shout outs for the week. I just typical shout out to you guys as the viewers and the stream viewers. I had a rough week last week, so coming back this week and streaming for you guys and hanging out with you guys and doing the podcast with you guys, reading emails, the 5-star reviews, everything that you guys send to us is amazing. And while it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like it would help a lot or do a lot as just leaving a review, it changes us as a whole, like our lives, reading that an insane much. So super, super appreciative over that. You can find me at Twitter at f2k_okayitsrosh, but also on Twitch at /okayitsrosh. Normally I say that I'll be streaming Overwatch, but tomorrow is Saturday and I do Spooky Saturdays, so we play spooky games and I'll be playing Resident Evil 7. So you should come stop by. You can see me playing that. I will be playing a little bit of Overwatch before that, but we'll end the night there.
Nice. As for me, you can find me at everything at Kicked Tripod, or just go to my website, kickedtripod.com is where I have links to everything else. You can find that all there. Shout outs for the week. None. Zero. Zip. Nilch. So zilch. Neat. Zilch. Anyways, okay, let's get out of here. We need to. Where's my thing? Boom. Thank you for tuning in for episode 57 of The Payload. You can find more great Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. And we're live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzpro. And follow us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. And then Discord. We're having a lot of fun in Discord. So discord.gg/blizzpro is where you can find us hanging out, talking about Overwatch, Hearthstone, general Blizzard games, just gaming in general is all going on right there. All right. Well, this has been... I need this thing. I need it over here. Okay.
You got it.
I don't know why I kept going over there to push the buttons, but I could have just brought the keyboard. Right here. This has been episode number 57. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.